540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Foxconn Technology Group has listed buildings in Green Bay and Eau Claire for sale. The company purchased the sites in 2018 with hopes to turn them into innovation centers, employing hundreds of workers at each site. Those plans never became a reality. Foxconn says the company is pulling back from innovation centers and focusing on the Science and Technology Park in Mount Pleasant. The president of the United States is hailing Bidenomics in Wisconsin. Terry Bell has more on Joe Biden's visit yesterday.
President Biden was in Milwaukee to talk about job growth during his time in office. More than 14.4 million new jobs nationwide, including 800,000 in manufacturing. Biden says unemployment has never been under 4% for this long.
Remember a while there, they're saying, well, Biden just allowed people not to work and get paid. Guess what? The higher percentage of American workers working today than ever before.
The president spoke at Ingeteam, a factory that makes wind turbine generators. Today is the first anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act, which spends hundreds of millions of dollars to create clean energy jobs. Next in Milwaukee, the Republican presidential primary debate next week. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The latest criminal indictment against former President Donald Trump has several Wisconsin connections. Nate Wegehout with more.
Wisconsin lawyer Kenneth Chesbrough faces 7 felony charges in the Georgia indictment over his role to submit a false slate of electors to Congress. Also named in the indictment but not charged is chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Brian Schimming. Schimming was not head of the Republican Party at the time, but the indictment says he met with Chesbrough and Rudy Giuliani over a plan to submit a false slate of electors here in Wisconsin. Schimming says the false electors meant in accordance with state policy to preserve all legal options while the case was heard in the courts. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has not yet indicated if he will file charges against Wisconsin's false electors. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Office of School Safety will continue to run for another year. Attorney General Josh Call announced today the office will receive one-time funding through federal pandemic relief grants to operate for the 2023-2024 school year. OSS did not receive long-term funding in the two-year budget passed earlier this year. Since its founding in 2018, the office has served as a resource for crisis prevention and response in Wisconsin schools. A northern Wisconsin tribe can keep barricading roads on its reservation. A federal judge dismissed a lawsuit yesterday from private landowners who want to use the roads. Judge William Conley said the non-tribal landowners who sued don't have a case against the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The main impetus for the president's trip was to talk up his economic policies. There were also details shared about fixing up the airport.
Thanks to the infrastructure law, we're providing $23 million to upgrade, modernize Mitchell International Airport, which is going to increase economic activity in Milwaukee.
During his trip to Milwaukee, President Biden visited an electric vehicle charging station manufacturer and discussed efforts to revive the job market post-COVID and promote domestic production. 3 former Waukesha County daycare workers charged in connection to a child abuse investigation are headed to trial early next year. One of the defendants, Heather Miller, rejected a plea deal this week. The trial is set for January 9th. The charges stem from their roles at the now-shuttered Lawrence School. The defendants have pleaded not guilty. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers lose to the Dodgers. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers dropped one to the Dodgers last night, 6-2 in Los Angeles. The crew had one highlight when Carlos Santana hit the longest home run of the season for Milwaukee, 442 feet. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Santana hammers one to deep left. Not even a step from Kike Hernandez. My, oh my, was that ball crushed into the pavilion. Wow.
For a while there, it looked like a playoff game. The Brewers and Dodgers tied it 1-1 after 5 innings, but in the bottom of the 6th, the crew gave up 5 runs between starter Adrian Hauser, reliever Hobie Milner, and a costly error by third baseman Andrew Monasterios, overthrowing first base manager Craig Counsell.
You know, definitely when you look back on it, we make the play and for the second out, and it's probably a different inning. And then, you know, even after that, it's, you know, four ground balls go through the and that's, you know, it's kind of one of those games like what if. But in the end, they, you know, they made us pay for it.
The Dodgers have now won 9 in a row, 12 of their last 13. They'll send Clayton Kershaw to the mound against Wade Miley. Milwaukee remains atop of their division by 4 games. NFL, the Packers are looking for players to step up at tight end after losing Tyler Davis for the season with a torn ACL. Rookie Luke Musgrave on what's been a challenge for him so far in training camp.
Blocking's definitely different. Going up against somebody like Preston Smith versus, you know, nothing against like college guys, but they're not as good.
We're in Green Bay covering the Packers' joint practices with the Patriots, who arrived here last night, head coach Bill Belichick.
Big week for us here at Green Bay. Been good working with Matt and his staff.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
It's a long week for sure, and that's one thing that we brought to the attention of our guys in terms of challenging them to stay focused, making sure they're taking care of their bodies, getting the adequate amount of sleep.
That's Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Earl. It's looking like it's going to be another beautiful day.
Yeah, man, it is, man. It's absolutely gorgeous. You know, yesterday afternoon, I was marveling that if ever there was a perfect day, it was absolutely yesterday. And, you know, the low humidity, a little tinge of fall. But I was out and enjoyed all of it and hope everybody else did. And you better continue it because, you know, these days, you know, they'll be gone before you know it. I mean, it's already Wednesday, man, right?
Well, that's right.
Right. So I want to welcome back an old friend. None other than Mr. Alan Borsick. He is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette Law School and a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and all things education. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
Hi, and good morning to you.
You know, it's always good having you on. It's been a while, but I mean, school has begun in some areas and will be beginning after Labor Day and others. And I can't help it. I've been talking about school over the last, I don't know, several weeks, Alan, about what has happened. And I've been basically saying to people to keep their grubby hands off of education and allow educators in many areas, and none of them are perfect. And yes, people have a right to, you know, to question some things. But for heaven's sakes, Alan, there's something going on that's over the top as it relates to education.
Well, it's always been a political subject. I suspect that's been true for 1,000 years. But it's become so politicized and everything's so weighted and freighted with politics and people's agendas and no interest in compromising or listening to other people. And everyone's just ruined for a fight so often. And, you know, I keep thinking, well, how about if we all calm down a little bit and just focus on teaching kids?
You know, Alan, that's the whole purpose, you know, of what my conversations have been about, because, you know, you and I've been around a while and you've been in this education game for a long, long time, but have you ever seen it, you know, as unsavory as it is now?
It's a good question because it's easy to make the past seem rosier than it really was. But nonetheless, I'd say I agree with you. It's so hostile and so combative And the focus is frequently on issues that actually are not worth as much attention as they get. You know, I prefer to focus on reading, writing, attendance, fairness to all kids, and so on. But yeah, no, I think the politics and just the climate around these issues is worse than ever.
Let me ask you, I don't know how many, was it a decade or more ago, a decision was made to go to whole language as opposed to, it may have been 2 decades ago, as opposed to phonics.
Whole language goes back to about the 1980s.
Oh, that long ago.
Yeah.
Well, and so people keep asking why children can't read. Why did they change phonics when we all knew that that worked? And in some instances, they finally decided to go back to phonics. Do you know why they made those decisions?
Well, why is a tough question, but the what and the trends are pretty clear. And there's been a big surge. I've been eager to write about this the last 6 months or so. There's been a big surge nationwide, growing in the last several years, and in Wisconsin in the last bunch of months, to get back onto more of a phonics-oriented path, what's now called the science of reading, which actually goes beyond phonics, but it's phonics is the leading feature. And that led to passage of a bill in the Wisconsin legislature, largely backed by Republicans, but with some Democratic support, to require by several years from now, it'll take some time to implement this science of reading phonics approach. Governor Evers signed it, maybe a little bit reluctantly, and a bunch of the reading establishment people, the Teachers Union, and the Wisconsin State Reading Association, which is kind of the establishment for reading teachers, are still unhappy about this, but it is the law now. Wisconsin becomes something like the 31st or 32nd state in the country that's going to be switching to a more of a phonics approach. I mean, when whole language rose, and it emphasized more like reading whole words and using clues and pictures and context to do it, it worked for certain kids, or let's say a lot of kids will learn to read no matter how they're taught. But a lot of kids were left behind. And needless to say, they were disproportionately the ones who
lived in poor communities. Live in poor communities and whatnot.
And the notion phonics, which really boils down to sounding out letters and putting them together in words, and people sometimes criticize us for not emphasizing the meaning, but when it's done right, the meaning is part of it, picking up on the comprehension. So, you know, there were kids who just couldn't read a word they weren't familiar with, when it's done well, and I've seen it done well, even in schools right around the Milwaukee area, there seems to be some growing success to using this science of reading approach. So it's coming in Wisconsin. That's one of the really big changes that's just getting underway with this school year, although, as I said, it'll take several years to see it come to fruition, and you hope it makes things better. I mean, reading is a first-rate crisis in education, and especially in Wisconsin. We have the biggest, as we know, black and white gaps in reading success in the country. Even among white kids, reading isn't so good overall. A third of all kids in Wisconsin, all kids, read in the bottom bracket of the categories of ability, the below basic level, as it's called. And you know, what can you do in the long run if you can't read well? And name me a job, it's about any job, that doesn't involve understanding what's going on, and that means reading, certainly all everything on computers, you name it. So it's a first-rate crisis, and there is a fairly big response at this point with this new law. Let's hope it helps.
You know, Alan, you said, you know, a big response, but, you know, going back to the whole language, in the 80s, well, you know, how many generations of children have we lost because of that? And it's long overdue. How much of this do you think is tied into, rarely are children reading books anymore. And I don't know. I mean, the computers, the technology, I mean, can that replace the book or just having a book? I often go into the libraries of some of the schools that I've been in over the last 12 years, and there's still books there, but they're cobwebs over all of them. And it's like nobody uses that medium anymore. Does that matter?
Well, I'm an old person too. I'm a big book person, and I think that the notion that books are passé is really a bad idea. That books should be very current. You know, reading books to kids, reading books with kids, which is even a better, is really important. You can do a ton on computers, on all these tablets, and so on. And as you get into anything on computers, you're doing reading, but the notion of just immersing yourself in something, I find it, and I think I'm not the only one by any means, not just old people, find it hard to immerse myself in something I'm reading on a computer screen. I can immerse myself in reading a book. And yes, we need to promote reading as an enjoyment, a recreation, a source of just developing your knowledge of the world much more than we have. You're right. I mean, schools don't even call them libraries anymore. They call them instructional media centers or whatever. There's even schools in the country. I've seen stories recently where the libraries are being converted to detention and discipline rooms. And you say, you shouldn't be punished by being sent to the library.
Alan, we're chuckling a little bit, but it's kind of degenerated into that, right?
We could go off into the whole subject of social media and what that's done to.
Well, we have to. Well, we have to.
Yeah.
Because at the root of all of it, Alan, is we know where this nation stands internationally when it comes to reading. And that was one area that we always were at the top of. And now we have fallen so far that it should be alarming to everybody. Got to go to a break. When we come back, on the line, none other than Mr. Alan Borsick. He is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette Law School and a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on education. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
This is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with a high of 81. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 63. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 73. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
89, you can text us at that same number. My guest is Miss Alan Borsick. He is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette Law School and also a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on education. You know, Alan, it's no secret. If a child doesn't learn how to read in those early stages, I've seen it in my time in the school system, young people who can't read in the third grade, in the fourth grade, in the fifth grade. I'm sorry, go ahead. Oh, and the longer, Alan,
I'm okay. I'm listening.
Yeah, and the longer that goes undetected, you've lost that child. And so they wonder why, you know, children in high school just totally shut down. I've seen it with my own eyes. Ninth grade. All the way through, and then school becomes just a place not to learn anymore, but to socialize. And in many instances, it's because the young person doesn't want to be exposed that they can't read. I mean, we can fix this, Alan, but we must fix it in these early stages.
It's a cliche and a truism, and it is true. And this is something across the board politically people would agree on, that until third grade you learn to read, and from fourth grade on up you read to learn. There's definitely a lot of research that supports that if you're not doing at least okay as a reader by the end of third grade, the correlation with being a dropout, being unsuccessful in the job market 25 years later, whatever, and just not thriving is very high. So that goal of getting kids to read by the end of third grade is really important. One of the big debates nationwide, and it showed up in the Wisconsin proceedings in the legislature, was whether to hold kids back
right,
if they aren't reading well by the end of third grade, which if it's not done really, really well with a lot of attention individually to the kids, is counterproductive. It sounds like a really good idea, except it doesn't work. Eventually, the Republicans who are leading this, particularly a guy named Joel Kitchens, who's a state rep from Sturgeon Bay, backed down because they needed the support of the governor. They didn't want to do something that was just going to get vetoed. So they put in a plan that instead of holding you back in third grade, any kid who isn't reading well by the end of third grade will get additional support, additional time and attention, and going into fourth grade and potentially even beyond until they do reach a competent level. Well, that's a really good goal. It's probably even doable, except it'll take a lot of staff, a lot of resources, a lot of time, and those are things that schools are short of, all schools, not only the public schools, but the private schools, but especially the public schools, which are in many cases so strapped. I mean, starting, the list starts with Milwaukee Public Schools. How are they going to be able to handle this effectively is a really, really challenging question, and I'm picking a gentler word than I might. I'm not sure it's possible.
So Alan, you hit on something, as you always do, but as a student of the baby boom generation and a student of the 60s, you know, grade school, baby boomers, MPS had maybe over 110,000 students, right? Maybe a little bit more than that in the 1960s.
At one point.
You say what?
Yeah, 130,000.
130,000 students. There was no shortage of teachers and educators because teachers and educators were held in high esteem. Is it safe to say that back then?
Generally, yes.
Okay.
Not perfect, but generally, I agree with that.
Right. But look today, you know, MPS is, I don't know, down to 70, 60, higher 60s, lower 70s. And even if you add all the other schools' choices, you're still not talking about anywhere near as many children, yet there aren't enough educators. Is it because we no longer hold those educators in the kind of esteem that they did decades ago? And if not, why?
Well, that's certainly a good question. Generally, I would agree with that teachers aren't treated as being part of a real honored and valuable profession in too many cases, certainly not by everybody and everywhere, but nonetheless, it's a continual problem. I mean, ask any teacher. Morale among teachers took a beating back at the time of Scott Walker's Act 10 in the 2011, and it hasn't really recovered from that, especially in the public schools, I think, and that's, I'm talking about statewide, not to mention that the pay is, frankly, not as bad as some teachers make it sound, but it's not that great either, and enrollment in like college level programs to train teachers remains to be way below what it used to be. There's lots of problems out there. There was just a report that came out, was it yesterday or the day before, from the Wisconsin Policy Forum on how on the rising number of teachers who are leaving the profession at the end of each year. The most recent data that they had was a substantial increase from prior years.
So, Alan, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. Alan Borsuk is on the line. He's a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette Law School. You can join us on the other side, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News brief. Hawaiians who live on Maui are reconsidering the future after last week's wildfires that killed at least 106 people. Retired teacher Rebecca Wimmer's home in Lahaina is now a pile of ash.
I really want to be near people I know and my history. I'm connected there.
North Korean state media claims U.S. soldier Travis King bolted across the border last month because he was tired of racial discrimination in the Army. Reporter Alex Jensen from Seoul.
Having been taken into custody, King could yet face severe punishment in the North based on past cases, but his reported request for refuge may complicate efforts to negotiate his release.
New research causing concerns fracking could increase children's risk of asthma or lymphoma. CBS Pittsburgh's Jessica Guay.
The researchers were unable to say whether the drilling caused these health problems as they comb through health records to try to determine possible association.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. While the primary focus of the president's visit yesterday was to promote his economic policies, additional information was provided about airport improvements.
Thanks to infrastructure law, we're providing $23 million to upgrade, modernize Mitchell International Airport, which is going to increase economic activity in Milwaukee.
President Biden's trip to Milwaukee included a visit to an electric vehicle charging station manufacturer, where he addressed post-COVID job market recovery and domestic production. Over a million state fairgoers ate over 300,000 cream puffs, with $400,000 raised in the livestock auction, a record. Numbers from the 2023 state fair are in. In addition to attendance breaking a million over the 11 days, it's estimated the giant slides were slid down over 100,000 times. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Alan J. Borsick. He is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette Law School and an education writer for the Milwaukee Journal. I almost wanted to add the Sentinel. It's been going a little while. But you know, Alan, It's somehow we're supposed to believe that it's only in Milwaukee public schools that this problem with education is occurring, but it's not, right? It's not solely the lack of the ability and of reading and all of the other things that the country is falling behind in education. What do you attribute it to? I mean, I understand in Milwaukee and in a poor area, you know, where the schools aren't the best, but even in suburban areas, Alan, the education is not what it was.
I would agree with that, and there's just, you know, sweeping changes in the social fabric of the country as a whole, of course. You are right that the problems are not only in MPS, even the problems in the city. A lot of the private schools and the charter schools also have big issues. Even the ones that are doing better, and many of them are charter schools, I must say. I give them credit for oftentimes being above the average year after year. But even there, the leaders of those schools would, if they were being honest, and many of them are, would say, we're not doing well enough. I mean, if the average reading, if the average for the city is under 20% of kids are reading at the proficient or advanced levels, and then you got a school that's where it's 25%, that's better, but it's totally say, wait a minute, there's so many kids that aren't. In any case, these problems, yes, are statewide. They aren't only in low-income communities. They aren't only in Milwaukee. They are more, to be honest, more concentrated in Milwaukee. I sometimes have referred to MPS for Milwaukee as a whole more than just MPS as the state capital of education problems. But there's the whole rest of the state, too, that shouldn't be given a pass.
So Alan, do you think, I mean, that's a catastrophic number, 20 to 25% reading above the level, which means, you know, 80 to 75% beneath. And so when you look at the crime statistics, Alan, there's got to be a correlation between the two, and yet you don't see the alarms that should be continuing to go off, and the priority that this should be in the society. When to look at that and know long term the impacts of that, you would think that would be higher up the food chain, Alan.
You would think that. I totally agree with you. Oh man, yeah. I tell a story that this would be, I think, last summer, a little over a year ago. I was driving on a Sunday afternoon and in the city, and came upon a place where there was a car on its roof and a fairly chaotic situation. Right. And I was stopped at a red light, and all of a sudden, let's assume teenage boys come running around the corner, followed by two cops with their guns out. And I had two quick reactions. One was, I'm getting out of here, which I did. And the other was, I bet these boys aren't doing well in school. I mean, there is a correlation between being on track in life in so many ways and not being involved in that kind of problem. I mean, it's if you're doing well in other ways in life, chances are you're doing well in just not getting in trouble and not committing crimes and having a sense of a future, which way too many kids don't have that sense of optimism or whatever you want to call it. Optimism is a good term about why they should care, why they should be engaged. So all these things tie together. I think education, stability in life, housing stability, food stability, these are all huge issues that go beyond schools by far and do impact all the issues in that we're facing, and not only in the city, but often in the suburbs around here, too.
You know, Alan, I'm just a lowly talk show host, But what I what I am is a concerned citizen who has lived in the city where I live my entire life and who's seen those changes and who's been in the schools working, trying to help correct the changes. And it's almost like we fail to understand that these children grow up to be adults. And if we didn't fix it, if we didn't fix it while we had the chance when they're young, well, what are the chances you're going to fix it when they become adults and need things that adults need and are not in a position to get those things, right? And so what they do then is, by any means necessary, they're going to get those things. But I don't understand, as smart as some of the people are, you know, politically, well, maybe they're not as smart as I think they are, that they won't focus on these, on
that this. That could well be true.
You said what, sir?
That could well be true, that they're not as smart as you think they are. Go ahead.
Well, yes, because I see a kid. The last school I was in, Alan, it was a school from K-4 all the way through 12th grade. And I could see a kid that's 5 years old that is kind of in headed towards, you know, you could see he had some issues. And then I would leave the kindergarten or the preschool. Not preschool, but grades, that grade school, and then go to the middle school in the same building and kind of see that same kid at 5 years old. He's now 13 years old, and they didn't address it while he was five. And now at 13 years old, he's almost impossible to deal with. And then I would leave there and then go to the high school level and see that kid, who's now 17 years old, who's coming to school reeking of marijuana, and we know what he's into. These are things that the wealthiest nation on earth with the most powerful military, Alan, in the world can fix if we have the will to do that.
The will, the urgency, the just commitment. I totally agree that you know, a lot of people just, especially if you're living somewhere where things are much better and where kids are doing better and kids are better off in so many ways, and you say, what's the problem? My kids are doing fine. I think that's been a problem with the power structure and the political structure for a long time, is that, you know, we don't really care enough about solving these things, and yet we're all paying for it in the long run. It isn't like anybody's exempt from the impact of all of these problems.
And Alan, do you know what I do is I extrapolate further into the future after you and I are gone and our generations are gone, and what is it going to be then, right? I mean, you know, it's going to be a lot worse. Because our generation does represent some stability. But if we don't fix this thing now, it's really the society has no concept of what it's going to be. But I do. You know, they've got to smash and grab things. Are you seeing that all over? People are. These smash and grab mobs that are just, that lawlessness is going to be multiplied, you know, decades from now if they don't start working on this issue.
That's another cliche, is kids are the future, and so you look around and say, I'm a little troubled about the future.
The other part, I'm sorry, go ahead, Alan.
It's a serious worry, that's all.
You know, and look, you're in a university. You know, we've got all these universities, and they're clearly not going to be enough children. You know, I'm sure the universities are going to take them in. They'll take them in because their resources are going to be necessary. But even long term, younger people who aren't prepared at early ages, the chances of them going on to higher education and succeeding is going to hamper this nation all the way down the line.
You know, in the university world, I was fairly shocked by the story a couple weeks ago about the layoffs, the staff reductions at the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh. And they were driven, and understandably so, by a big decline in enrollment across the UW system, across a lot of the private universities in the state. There's a decline in enrollment, and there's a lot of reasons behind that. I think there's more people who feel like a college degree is too expensive, and then, you know, they don't know if it's justified in terms of career, and a lot of serious issues. Nonetheless, ultimately, the educational success of the general population correlates with the quality of life in the general population. The more educated, we'll look at the places in the country that are thriving economically, and almost all of them have higher percentages of college graduates and educational attainment at a good level than we happen to have around here, statewide, I'm talking about, and including the Milwaukee area. So, yes, to me, education is, and will be crucial to the future of quality of life in any place you can name. And so I'll name the entire state of Wisconsin.
So Alan, does all of this start at the national level? I mean, do we rely, or should we rely on the national educational policies and issues to fuel what happens locally, or is that the problem? I mean, are these things that we need to be working on at the state level and the local levels?
Well, it starts at every level, including, if I may say so, in the home.
Oh, well, no question.
It starts at the parenting level and in the stability of houses. But the national level, there's a very mixed record at best of national initiatives paying off. You know, I think of like the great No Child Left Behind law.
Yes, I remember that.
Now, that was passed in 2001 and 2002 and had all these great ambitions and systems. And we're not going to put up with mediocrity and failure to succeed. And of course, it didn't work. Decreeing something from the White House or from Congress there isn't a very good track record of that really paying off big. On the other hand, you can't give the national government a pass. I mean, the setting the tone, setting the leadership, and in many cases funding, whether it's Head Start, whether it's Title I that helps low-income kids, whether it's special education funding, which the federal government has never carried the load that it promised back in the 1970s. But all of these things, there is a sense that there has to be national leadership to make these things happen.
Alan, hang on. We one more break, and so we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 81. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 63. Overcast skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 73. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, "Brandy, fetch another round." She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, "Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Borsick. Let's go to the phone lines and Marty. Hey, good morning to you, Marty. How you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for the show. It's very informative. Alan, I enjoy your reading your material all these years. It's very informative. A couple questions real quick. Alan, is there a setup where each student that enters MPS is assigned a counselor, a teacher, a professional? And what I'm thinking is, you know, just for raw numbers, say you got 7,000 professionals in the system and you have 70,000 students, why could not each professional be assigned 10 students to just keep an eye on? Not for a year, not for a semester, but for their entire career, so that each professional would have, you know, third graders, fifth graders, 17-year-olds, but they would be just watching their progression over time. I'm just wondering, is there any system where each student, each family has a counselor that they can stick with for the entire career, despite the moving around and so forth? That's it.
Well, you just, I can answer. So many students are transient in the district. And so, you know, today they're at this address, tomorrow they're at another address. And I'll let Alan respond on the other side of it.
Well, Earl, I think that's a really important point, the instability in kids' life and the high churn in enrollment, and that's not only true in the MPS schools, it's true in all the schools in the city, with just a few exceptions. If I hear about a school where they have a real stable enrollment, I say, then that's a special place. That's a place that's got a culture we ought to be paying attention to, and there are several of them. So instability in kids' lives would certainly be a problem, and also in staffing for that matter, that to find someone who would stick with a kid from kindergarten through 12th grade, there aren't that many careers that span that. But also, I mean, if you talk to staff people and teachers and non-teachers both, in most any school, they'd say, "I've got a full load. I've got my hands full. I'm working, you know, long hours, not only at school, but at home, on weekends, whatever. And many of them, frankly, aren't that good at being counselors. That said, I think this is an interesting idea. If you talk to kids and look at surveys and such and panel discussions with kids, I just was aware of one recently. They say, what did I want in school? I wanted a mentor. I wanted an adult who cared about me. I wanted some relationship with someone who was really a positive influence on me. And in some cases, I'll say, that's the most important thing. I don't need, you know, some of the things people think I need. I need someone who cares about me. So to have those kind of relationships is really, really valuable and can be a total life changer.
Alan, what you just said, it should be life-altering for people. Because when I was a child, that was never a thought. I had my parents. You're right. Kids today, even with a parent, and the parent is so overwhelmed singularly with trying to just make it through a day. And these young people know that there's no one who cares for them. And that's what they want. They want a mentor. They want somebody, some adult who can talk to them and tell them it's going to be all right. Right? I mean, they're trying to survive day to day. They can't even begin to project into the future and what the at the end education is going to mean to them. They can't see that.
Yes. And from looking at the parents as a whole, you have to have some, in fact, a lot of empathy and compassion because so many people are struggling so much.
Right.
And you say, nobody says, I'd like to be a bad parent. Nobody says, I'd like my kids to do poorly. But nonetheless, many times kids find themselves in situations where that's going on. The parents have huge problems. The parents are leading lives that are, not very functional.
Right.
And so how do we get to that level of really getting to parenting? That would be a wonderful step forward if we could. And I think a lot of parents would like to do better. And could do better. This is a longer than we have time to get into here, but like the world's leading expert on the benefits of early child education is a professor at the University of Chicago. And I had a conversation with him a couple years ago now. And I said, what would be the best use of money? He said, hiring people, and they don't need to be, you know, college graduates and people with master's degrees or anything, but who are trained to go into homes on a volunteer basis and give parents some coaching, some help, some tips on food, on play, and how to talk to your kids, how to structure your day. A lot of parents would really benefit from that and would love it. You know, so it's actually doable, except not very many people are doing it.
You know, Alan, it's unfortunate that we've reached the end of this discussion for this point in time, but because you know, school is starting again. And we don't know that we haven't seen any major changes since the last school year that encourage us to believe things are going to be different. And I think that's the frustrating part of it, Alan. Year in, year out, things don't change.
Yeah, yeah. I ran into someone who used to be involved a lot in the education scene a while, and he said, do you feel like you're living Groundhog Day? I mean, the movie,
yes.
The same day repeats over and over again. And I said, all the time, just things don't change that much. And I wish more changed for the better.
Hey, Alan, thank you as always for spending some time with us. I'll be reaching out to you periodically throughout the school year as always.
I'm glad to be here. I appreciate your interest in the subject, and I appreciate your consistency and steadiness in staying on this. You know, You're an advocate of the real high quality.
Hey, thank you very much, Alan, as always. We'll talk soon. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll be right back.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.